Welcome to Post-Status Draft, the official podcast for Post-Status, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Joe and I talk about learning WordPress, how we learned, and also about what employers should expect when training junior developers versus hiring senior developers. We also share some learning resources at the end of the podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the Post-Status Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining more than 750 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature one of our partners, Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms helps you make the best web forms on the planet. Whether you need multi-page forms, e-commerce, surveys, or much more, Gravity Forms can help. You can learn more about Gravity Forms at gravityforms.com, and thanks to Gravity Forms for being a Post-Status partner. Now, I want to take 1 minute to share about two events coming up. One is Post-Status Publish. This is a single-day event in Philadelphia on December 1st. It's like bringing the hallway track to the main stage. If you're going to be in Philadelphia on December 1st, I highly suggest that you check this event out. It's the very first Post-Status conference, and it's going to be great. We just announced speakers and other information that you can check out at poststatus.com/publish. Tickets are running out, so check it out soon. And finally, if you check out adayofrest.hm, the workshops for March 8th and 10th, that's on either day of the main A Day of Rest event, all about the REST API that's going into WordPress Core. Those workshops were just announced. You can learn from Zach Gordon, Wes Boss, Brian Richards, Joe Hoyle, Adam White, and Adam Silverstein. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you check it out. Now here's our show. Hey, everybody. I'm Brian, and I'm the editor of PostStatus.
And I'm Joe, a co-founder and the CTO of HumanMate. And welcome to the Post-Status Draft podcast. And today we're going to talk about learning WordPress development.
Yeah, so we're going to go through resources and the types of things we think people should learn. I guess we'll approach this in a couple of ways, right? How we learned, and then maybe how we would recommend people would learn based on our experience or based on our experience working with others and like, you have a good foundation for this because, you know, you've worked with people or hired people that have learned in a lot of different ways. So hopefully this will be helpful to people that are either hiring developers or are looking to become a professional developer or a better developer. So that's the goal.
Cool.
So let's get started by doing a brief backstory of kind of what direction we came at WordPress from, because I think the typical thing is either someone is totally self-taught or they're like a classical programmer and worked their way back into WordPress or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do the short version on your end and then I'll do it?
Yeah, sure. I think like most people I've met, I was kind of the just like stumble around, teach myself things, found this WordPress thing and, you know, came from the kind of knew how to make it at quite a basic level, you know, HTML and CSS.
Were you like directly out of high school or primary school or whatever it's called in the UK and like not in college or anything and went straight into it? Or
Yeah. I think when I was like 16 or something like that, I was just kind of like hobby. Kind of doing.
Okay, so you're a young adopter. I thought so,
but yeah,
I think you're younger than me. So
when I think I got into like programming stuff when I was like 14, but only a little bit, just like, you know, here and there. And then like I think when I was like 15, 16, I got interested in web stuff for whatever reason. I just like found a book on Visual Basic when I was 14 and started working through that. Turns out, I mean, maybe there was something valuable in there, but broadly speaking, it's not a skill that I've taken forward.
Is it ridiculous that every time I think of Visual Basic, I just think of Microsoft Excel?
No, that's good. I mean, yeah, because you have Excel macros that you can write in Visual Basic, I think.
Right. That was actually probably the first programming. I did air quotes.
Because I remember in college, actually, in our IT class, which is just learning how to use computers, really. Then I remember finding that in Excel, and I was like, oh, wow, I already know Visual Basic, so I can just, like, program it.
What a nerd you were.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. On the web stuff anyway, then yeah, I kind of like did the front end thing and then was doing things like Dreamweaver templates and like a little bit of just like PHP script at a time trying to understand what it was. Because I think like even before I knew about WordPress, PHP is still very big in that kind of like beginner learning websites. PHP is probably the first thing you're going to stumble into on the server side.
So what rough time frame did it take on your end to go from saying, hey, I'm interested enough in this web stuff to where I might want to do this like for a job, to then getting to the skill level where you think you were hireable as like a classical, like what an ad agency or something would hire as a WordPress developer. So like converting PSDs into WordPress websites, like at what point, how long do you think that time frame was for you based on the route that you went?
So I think I was probably just kind of, once I'd kind of found WordPress, I was probably like messing around with it for 6 months to a year maybe. But then I kind of got dropped in at the deep end with a job with an American company. And this is when I was kind of, you know, pretty like 17, 18 or something. Mm-hmm. So at that point, because like I had another job at the time, but then suddenly I was doing this WordPress thing and getting paid like five times the amount. So like I was like, okay, this is great. Like I want to learn more of this. It was like really motivating to do that. So then it probably only took me maybe a year after that. But I was really quite into it. You know, I was the kind of person that's staying up late every night because they find it very interesting rather than being like on a track of learning.
Kind
of.
Yeah.
So I feel like it accelerated quite quickly then when I was getting paid for it. I was quite young. I had a lot of time on my hands.
So you had 6 months to a year of some fundamentals of at least the concepts of code because of you know, Visual Basic stuff. And then.
The Visual Basic stuff when I was like much younger. So like I always kind of.
But you kind of remembered that when you got back in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I kind of like knew, you know, the idea of like have variables, have functions, you like have loops and recursion and stuff like that.
But you kept a minimal amount of that knowledge, but just the concepts of code itself, so that you weren't jumping into web stuff from like nowhere at all.
Exactly. And like before this whole WordPress thing, like this is really for the WordPress side of things. On the front end type of stuff, I'd already been making like, you know, your small local websites when I was a kid. So I kind of
creating HTML pages with some CSS and whatnot wasn't the part that was freaking you out.
Yeah, exactly. Like this whole PHP thing, that's like really where I was like, oh wow, like this is actually quite difficult compared to what I feel like I'd done before. So that's like really what I was focusing on. On like that year that I'm kind of talking about was really about like understanding, learning WordPress, you know. I think like probably towards the end of that year, I was finally kind of, you know, using custom post types before they were even officially supported by WordPress yet. And like really kind of like finding the edges of WordPress by that point.
So you were overqualified by the point that you're referencing then.
I probably thought that I was. Like, it's always difficult. Like, right from the beginning, I always took a position of, like, I want to try and be the best and differentiate myself that way. Just like, you know, as maybe just like a young kid kind of thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I always, like, took it fairly seriously and, like, always really wanted to, like, push it as further as I could, I guess.
Most kids have those thoughts about, like, sports or something.
Yeah, I know. It's just a different outlet.
Be the best at WordPress. I'm going to go to the WordPress Super Bowl.
Well, at this point, I didn't even realize there was a WordPress community or WordCamps or anything like that. You know, it's completely in a bubble.
So you were actually, I'm going to translate what you said a little bit because you're looking back at yourself and so at the time you thought you were employable. Now you think you probably weren't employable.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think I was still definitely employable. Like I was employed.
But you weren't as good as you thought you were.
I think, you know, but I'll probably say that about myself now in like 2 years time. I don't know. Right. That's an ongoing thing. But Yeah, I'd say like that. That's the point where I feel like, yeah, I could like step into like a junior position at a company.
Right. You had a pretty good amount of knowledge, but you didn't really have a lot of experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, I actually, our stories are more similar than I thought. You had a head start on me, though. I didn't really dig into like just being interested in the web until midway through college, maybe. And then I found WordPress relatively quickly and created actually my first couple of websites just using themes and maybe making a couple of customizations in college. But
you stumbled into WordPress pretty quickly after, like,
just probably a matter of weeks of I remember creating like my first rollover button or something like that with HTML, but eventually I was what's that?
I'm so excited. I remember discovering CSS hovers and stuff.
And I remember a buddy of mine that lived in the same building as me was well ahead of where I was, and I remember showing him like, look what I learned, like I'm close to probably be able to launch this website that I did. And he was so supportive.
You should thank him someday.
Yeah. And then another buddy of mine, who now has gone on to have a really impressive programming career. He was into the web really young and actually helped his dad convert a retail business and created the online store and all this stuff. So he was actually quite experienced. So I used to pick his brain a lot, but I still like I was interested in it the way that I get interested in lots of things, but I wasn't thinking of it like I'm going to do this, you know?
One of your many.
It was just a hobby. That was my introduction, but that was to set timelines to this. That was probably my first versions of WordPress where I was really playing around with like WordPress 2.7, 2.8. So it was like widgets were awesome, you know? And then I remember when it changed from that, I was already in my first job, but I was traveling a lot. So I was kind of got back into this because I had so much free time at night traveling. And that's when I realized like, man, I still want to build websites. Like, this is weird. Like, this hobby of mine is strange. And that was probably around the same time that you were talking about. So like custom post types were coming in around 3.0 and stuff. And, and that's when I started like writing about it. And I actually was writing and learning at the same time. From a programming perspective, I had a similar background as well, because I did engineering in undergrad, and like everybody at Auburn that did engineering took like a Java class or something. And we took a, I took like random pieces of software, like Minitab or something, because I did industrial engineering. So it was like a lot of system stuff. So I did a lot of statistics. So you ended up using programs, but it was not a lot of programming. And even in the Java class, it was a total joke. I didn't take it seriously. I never thought I needed it. I thought it was pointless. Yeah. Which is hilarious. If I'd paid attention to that, it would have been a nice.
What did you think of it then? Like, what was your, if you'd like, thought it was silly? Like,
I had
be weird.
I think these were like fundamentals of programming type of classes where, in my opinion, looking back, like I should have been more interested in it than I was. But at the time, like, I don't know, my teachers certainly weren't showing like this is what you can do with programming, like this is what this empowers. They weren't doing that very well, or I wasn't listening, one of the two. And
did you understand the stuff that you were learning was like what you had to do to actually make the programs that you were building with? Like, did you have that association of like, I'm using this whole computer and everything here is created by doing this kind of coding that I'm learning?
Not really. So like, let's say, and I don't think it's a direct overlap, but let's say I was taking a Java class and then I was also playing with WordPress or, you know, like building a simple website. I wasn't really connecting it. Like, the fundamentals of Java could basically be the same as the fundamentals of PHP. So I can connect these things. Instead, I was like having to do a homework assignment where I have to get this 20-line Java function to compile and my loop works correctly, but I didn't know what the loop was in WordPress. You know, like,
yeah.
I was so green all across the board, but that was my introduction at least to a little bit of understanding about what things that happen. I even took a database class, but it was all about Microsoft Access. You're learning about keys and indexes, like all these things that now would be valuable. But like, I don't know if it was me being a not perfect student and like just not digging into what I was learning because I was so interested in like other stuff around school. But anyway, so I had a weird pseudo understanding of it. But then when I really got into it, similarly, it took me about a year before I decided like, man, I think this is something I'd be interested in doing full time. But I still didn't understand how WordPress was being used in the commercial world. And I didn't realize that like every ad agency was already looking into WordPress, at least for some projects. And then throughout my first couple of years of doing professional WordPress development, I realized like everybody is using WordPress all the time for client work. It wasn't quite as ubiquitous as it is right now, because there were still, and at least in my town, like there were proprietary CMSs and there were other CMSs that like some people would clearly be more interested in Drupal or I don't know, who knows what. But I did.
When I was getting into it, it was static websites were still a really big thing.
That's true. But I think there was a shift at some point where WordPress went from, I'm not sure if you remember, but like 2011 or so, WordPress was maybe like 8 or 10% of the web. And that's a pretty drastic shift to get to 25, 26% now. And at some point in that, I felt like WordPress became pretty ubiquitous for building like your custom marketing websites or whatever, like, you know, ad agency, interactive agency, that type of stuff. WordPress became like the go-to at some point in there, maybe like 2012 to 2014. It really seemed that way to me, at least. Anyway, so for me, process wise, I think it was like 2010 when I was like, man, I think this might be like more than a silly hobby. And then to like late summer 2011 when I got my first full-time job. So it was about a year and I felt very unprepared going in, and I was, but at the same time, I probably could have gone a little sooner had I wanted to, in order to be useful in the company that I was in.
Right.
So I was both too inexperienced and also more experienced than
Woefully under.
they needed, from a WordPress perspective at least, they needed my knowledge prior to when I got there.
Right.
Timeline wise, I think about a year. A year is what I would say is like a good amount of time if you're going to be like us and put your nights and weekends time to it, but you're not necessarily using it day to day. But I was heavy duty nights and weekends for about a year. I've always told people I'm still fascinated about this, but like I was super fascinated whenever I made the transition, you know, like from working in a traditional corporate environment to working in like this kind of modern world that we're in, where it's still kind of crazy to me. Like, you can do something that's pretty fun and you can do it for a living. And, it's not the hardest work in the world to be a programmer, you know?
Yeah. No, you do sometimes feel like it's a little too good. I never had a you know, quote, corporate job or anything. So I don't really have anything to compare it to. I went from like working in a hotel and a bar to like working remotely for an American company doing WordPress stuff. And then went from there to freelancing and then started a company. So I've never really had that. I've never really seen any insight.
I mean, now to be clear, like my first job, I wasn't doing manual labor, but I was an engineer within a corporate environment. It was corporate, you know. But I just see things sometimes. Like I just recently read an article actually in the New York Times that was about small manufacturing companies. And I was reading about this guy that went to prison, and then he basically taught himself a skill in prison, and he really didn't want to go back to prison. He'd grown up in a horrible environment, and so like when he got out, like the only thing he could do was get a $7 an hour job at fast food stuff, but he completed a 2-year course to learn a physical skill, like a machining skill or something. Mm-hmm. And then he did that for like 2 hours a day for a couple of years, and that gave him the opportunity to go get a job for like $20 an hour in a manufacturing environment where it's a pretty strenuous environment, but it was a technical job. So like, that's clearly something that takes just as much training, and it's a lot of work, and it's still a very physical job when you get it done at the end of the day. And that's someone that's fighting, and then it's hugely appreciative for $20 an hour. And the going rate for what we're doing is significantly more. Mm. And like, it's not, it doesn't require that same commitment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean,
there's huge opportunities, and there's similar flexibility. Like in some industries, you know, like, a felon or whatever, you'd have trouble getting a job. But in our industry, like that's actually a pretty good industry for something like that. Somebody with a rough background or whatever, where you could get in, and it doesn't really matter who you are. It's just kind of what you bring to the table. And it just kind of fascinates me. And I think sometimes we lose sight of the privilege that we have.
Yeah. And no, I think we do take it for granted a lot. How, you know, like there's, it's like, broadly speaking, I think like it's not a difficult thing to do, you know, like sure you can have like stress or whatever, but
yeah.
It's not, you know, super taxing, I think. And it's also a very affluent industry. And like you say, like it's relatively accessible, I guess, in terms of...
low barrier to entry as long as you have the basic tools and time.
Right, exactly. So it is like a definitely position of privilege. It's also, but it, at the same time... like usually if I'm, you know, talking to somebody that isn't in the web stuff or anything, and they're like, you know, looking for work, like looking for something to do, whatever, like WordPress stuff is a great thing to get into. Like it's, I don't think it takes a huge amount of effort to get to the level where you can start charging or get employed for something. And once you're really on that track, like the great thing is, pretty much as soon as you're doing any work, you're getting paid for it. Like your skills are just increasing so much faster once you're doing it like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
we'll probably need to start getting into more specifics, but my favorite, because you just hit on the most important thing, my favorite advice on how to learn web development is actually borrowed from Chris Coyer and Dave Rupert. They do the Shop Talk show, which is a podcast with like, lots of listener asked questions of like, how do I choose between SaaS and something else or whatever? How do I learn? What course do I take? And their advice is always just build websites. Because nothing, you mentioned having being thrown in the deep end. When I did finally get my first job in WordPress, I could have probably done something earlier, but the job that I jumped into was actually quite a bit of responsibility. So I was super in the deep end and ended up in just a couple of years, probably touching 100 websites for clients, all sorts of crazy stuff, like just dealing with new things every day.
Yeah.
So just building websites is absolutely the best advice I can give, because what you do, like anything, is you start to run into the problems that you have, and then you figure out how to solve them.
And I feel like giving the solution before you know the problem is just a pretty useless exercise.
Absolutely.
It is for me anyway. If I can't understand that, like what this thing is solving for me, like what problem exactly that I've already run into the limitation, been frustrated by the fact, like, you know, making static websites and introducing WordPress was that for me, because like I'd done so much of the, okay, like I've got all these files and I'm having to do search and replace across 50 files every time I want to change something. Like the small movement to like, oh, okay, if I render things on a server and then I like split out the HTML and then the data side, then I have like infinite scalability. Like you really understand why does something like a server-side scripting language now exist. And that really, like, rather than just being taught ahead of time that you do this thing on the server and then it gets sent to the client, they do this front end. If you really don't understand the reasons for that, then it's much more difficult, I think, you know, when you're building on top of that knowledge. Now you're like adding in a technology like SAS, which you know it has to be compiled because the browser doesn't run it or whatever. Like if you don't have a very solid foundation of why everything is like it is, you know, up to that point through experience of like bumping into those obstacles, then I think it just quite quickly becomes just like this house of cards that's going to tumble down because like suddenly you're not, you know, you don't have the almost like emotional connection to all of these different components, really understand what is that bit doing for you, rather than just like in an abstract way learning that PHP is rendered server-side, sends it to the client, yada yada.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes actually applies to WordPress development, but it's by Donald Rumsfeld, who's a interesting...
Not what I thought you said at the beginning.
Yeah, interesting American politician or whatever, government person. Anyway, so he used to say in regards to like, I don't know, threats or something, about the concept of unknown unknowns. Mm. And I think you really run into lots of unknown unknowns when you're learning WordPress or learning development. And the way you make those unknowns known is to actually do it. Because when you start, you're naive. You're like, well, all I need to do is X or all I need to do is Y. And then as you dig into each of those steps, you start learning, peeling back the layers of more and more stuff that you want to become accustomed with or whatever. And you start to learn and you start to make those unknown unknowns known. So you learn like, oh, well, I need to learn like the basics of jQuery for certain things, or I need to learn basic PHP in order to better utilize these WordPress functions, which do what I want to do. I certainly learned that way. And that's kind of the long path. Like that's the year plus path of peeling back the layers.
Mm.
What I'm really interested in doing today is trying to provide a better route for someone if we're trying to shorten their time frame. So saying like, okay, let's get you ready to go in 6 months instead of a year. Where would we start and what direction would we take them?
So my meta take on this approach is that everybody that I know that is like solid level of understanding, good developer, has pretty much done the route that we're talking about in the WordPress world. And what seems to happen is you get to that level and you say, wow, that was like a crazy journey of indirection that I came on. How can I give advice and streamline this for other people? And I guess I'm skeptical whether such a thing exists. It seems to me that based off the people that I know anyway, the kind of most surefire way you can have to learn this, and I don't want to completely eradicate the purpose of our whole podcast by saying this.
Could this whole bit of advice fit into the excerpt?
I'm interested in the question of like, can you actually streamline that? I know that there's a bunch of things that I would say, but just based off the people that I know, like nobody seems to actually end up that kind of working. It always ends up being a journey of self-discovery and kind of self-leading that seems to, you know, based off the selection of who end up being very good developers, seems to be maybe that that's the best route to go. Or maybe there just hasn't been enough kind of like generations yet of people to actually pass back that advice to get like a strong, you know, direct path established.
Yeah, I think that it depends on the learner and to what degree they really take to heart what someone's telling them about learning.
Hmm.
I definitely think like there could be, say, like a course or a school or something like that where someone can speed the process. But the person has to be a sticky learner. Like, it's not the type of thing where you just kind of take it in one ear and let it fly out the other. Because then you really don't accomplish very much during that learning process. And then you'll go through the same process once you actually do get knee deep into doing web work.
I've never, in school, like learning things in school, if I remember back to those days, or even like right now, I'm taking a French course and learning that in a class in a very traditional way. Yeah. All of that type of learning, like, to me, is like, there's a lot of like remembering things and, you know, like revision and things like that. I have no experience whatsoever of doing that with anything related to programming, well, or WordPress or anything. Like, does that exist?
I think that's, are there classes, or does,
I'm sure there are classes. I'm just wondering whether learning in that way for what is like web development a special thing?
I think what you're referring to is, and I agree, this is a better way to learn, but it's not, it's a little one, it requires a lot more commitment from the teacher. But I think the best way to learn is through apprenticeship rather than coursework. I mean, apprenticeship was how skills and trades were learned for centuries. Only in the last few hundred years or whatever, like, if we really got more into coursework in the past few decades to where that was like primary. I think most creative or technical things, if you even talk to schools, like the institutions and then the students that went through those would probably say that where they learned the most was during their internships or during their like, what do you call those, like the like where you take a semester and you go out into the world and then you come back, bring
placement year or whatever.
Yeah, you bring all that perspective from your semester in the field, you bring it back to school. So
it just mean like school is an incredibly efficient way of teaching us things broadly, but it kind of works for everybody. So that's why we do that. Or is there actual kind of,
I think it depends on what you're learning, but basically, yeah. I think it works well. I think school works well when, whatever is being taught is, broad. And then when you go into the field, it's very specific. So like, say finance or something, if you're learning like the concepts of finance, but then you go into an internship and you're working for like one company doing one thing, and you know, you're not necessarily able to apply these broad concepts. Like, you're not in the C-suite, you're not in the boardroom where they're doing the more macro decision making. So you can do the more macro learning.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the web, if you're learning web development and then you go and you work for an interactive agency as an apprentice or something, or as an intern, like it's pretty easy to get exposure to all the elements of what you're learning.
True.
So to me, I think one of the quickest ways to learn is to create a hybrid of coursework mixed into working as an understudy or something within an organization or with another developer, something like that. And I think as people in the WordPress space, or for instance, like, hiring is pretty difficult, you know, like people looking for good employees, like, they have a hard time. And I think one of the good ways going forward is actually going to be to bring people up. So like, get somebody that just graduated college and can't find a job in their market and has expressed an interest in the web, like people just like us, but kind of bring them into the fold sooner. So that what took us a year and we made lots and lots of mistakes and whatever, like, you can structure that period. And I think that can help reduce the amount of time that it takes. And I think there can be a format for doing this whole thing that makes it work better for everybody. Now, if you take the, obviously, if someone's here and they want to be that person, they're not the company that's thinking about implementing a process like this, then they need to, we need to give them a path for going on that journey themselves to try to reduce it. But before we get to that, I'd like to know your opinion as a business owner. Do you think that that's an apprenticeship program is the type of thing that a business can justify? Like, I mean, because this has a real cost, right? So let's say, let's say it costs $30,000, okay, for you to bring someone up like this throughout the course of a year. Like, is that worth it for you?
I think it is a viable business thing. Like, directly for human made, like, we're not very well staffed and have the appropriate processes to do that, so we don't really do it very much. Like, we have probably had like 3 or 4 in total where we've kind of like, it's like internship or something, and then that's gone on and that kind of thing. But broadly, our business model doesn't really incorporate that.
You have too big of a gap between an intro person that you would teach and then the type of person that you hire.
Like
you don't have as big of a, you don't have as big of an area like some agencies would, where
you can
take a junior person pretty easily.
In pure kind of economic terms, then maybe we're going to need to go a little longer, and the stakes can be a little higher just because if you're billing for somebody at our rate, then there's a different expectation there, things like that.
However, first job, like someone that was brand new, like we could have put them to work doing content management, content entry for a new website. And it's pretty low barrier to entry, and it's still valuable work because it needs to be done.
Yeah. But I think at the same time, if let's say me, Tom, or Noel, like super passionate about teaching processes and like bringing people up and stuff like that, I'm sure we would have been able to incorporate that. It's more a, you know, laziness really on our part that's not where I'm interested in focusing my time. There are other things pulling me in other directions. So because of that, we more have like QMAID is more a company where you more like step into it knowing how to do the job from the get-go. In terms of if you can do it, like if that is part of your model, I think it is a really good thing. Like, finding good people is something that's obviously very difficult to do. You really, if you want to like short circuit that, you just got to like come in with, you know, however many of thousands of dollars off the bat, hire somebody, like strange that position. You're paying a pretty big premium to do that compared to bringing somebody on and training them up and getting them to work on the stuff that they're able throughout that process. Obviously, you're still aiming to pay them the same amount once they get to that level of that person you would have hired in the first.
But the entry level, like, you could probably get somebody out of certain majors, like the competitive salary to whatever, like, let's say they were an English major or something, and their prospects for jobs out of college, maybe they'd make $30,000 or $35,000 or something like that. So that's what you're competing with for bringing them into a web-based position.
Right.
Compared to like maybe like $75,000 or something for the higher end, for like what they might be capable of earning 2 years down the road once they learn the skills that make them attractive to you at HumanMade.
Right. And it's like I think there's quite a lot of inherent risk in this process. I mean, we'll maybe get to that, but you kind of, if you can kind of like spot the things that you're interested in, if you can find somebody that doesn't have the skills, but you think, you know, maybe because of things they've done or the fact that you know them or whatever, that they're going to adapt very well to working in the environment or to like solving the problems that they need to be solving. If you can like get that early on and then be able to, you know, shape that in the way that you see is going to be kind of best, like you say, provide them with those shortcuts so you don't like, so they don't have to take the convoluted path that you did, then I think there is opportunity there to kind of like take somebody that's fresh out of college, doesn't have any much specific skills, but you can see that they would work really well with this programming thing.
Isn't the biggest risk for a business owner the potential lack of tenure? So like you teach somebody all these skills and then they zoom off as soon as they're done?
Yeah, it kind of is, but I don't know. Usually to me, whenever, and you know, watch out opinions, if somebody's worried about people going elsewhere after you've just given them all these skills, they're completely misjudging how this whole like transactional thing is working. Like if somebody skills up your company and leaves, then you've probably got a problem with your company. Like, why don't people want to carry on working? And why see this thing of like, I don't really see it as like, oh, look, I've just invested, like, I've given $50,000 to this person for these skills that I'm giving them in return for the expectation that they're going to work for me for the next 5 years. Isn't a very kind of like equal, fair kind of transaction, I would say. It's like, if you bring people on, they really enjoy working at the company and really like all of the stuff they're doing and learning all of these skills. Like, why wouldn't they want to continue on that? And I'm not sure, maybe Humay attracts, you know, different people that are more interested in like having a job that they enjoy in lifestyle rather than like collecting companies on their CVs or something.
I think a lot of it has to do with prospects within the company and opportunities to advance, and how much the company is actually valuing whatever, like whatever this is.
And right. So if your company only caters to, let's say, like the mid range of skills, and there's no opportunity there to progress beyond that, I can kind of see that, because like, but your company is always going to be a transitional company for people in that case, because everybody's always wanting to improve their skills, broadly speaking. So if you're not providing an outlet for people to really kind of like learn things to the maximum of their ability and be able to apply those as well, then I think you're always going to have that kind of people coming in, people going out problem.
Yeah. And I think one other thing that I've seen is that in a lot of situations when it's local versus remote, the upper bands of what you can make within like a mid-market locally, like working at an agency, they're looking at competition across their city or something. And salary-wise, it may be difficult for those business owners in those types of agencies to justify the amount that you would cost versus like what you could make working remotely somewhere. Or working for yourself. Like if you have freelancing opportunity where you can make, you know, 50% more than you could make in your salary, like that's hard for a business to compete with.
Yeah, but there's like a lot of people could leave their company and be a consultant and probably earn more, but it's a different type of lifestyle and a different type of work. I think if like, I'm pretty much a believer, like a company should always be trying pretty hard to make the, you know, company a better place for people to work in and make things better for them. Yeah. So if like you're always trying to push that further, trying to make things better, trying to get, you know, better benefits for people and things like that, that's kind of like going to prevent against like some of you like getting frustrated and wanting to just go do something on their own or whatever. It doesn't work obviously for everybody, but I think from an economic point of view, then you can afford for a few people to be leaving. You just don't want it to happen in droves. Clearly you've got a problem if that happens. So like, I think you can weather the amount of organic, like some people just want to move on or whatever. Those people can carry on doing that. And if you make your company a great place to work, then everybody else that would be content, if there's going to, you know, if they're happy in their job, they're happy to continue doing that, then you're going to keep those people.
Yeah. And I actually think one other element is probably when you're hiring, and we need to get back to the actual learning process.
Sure.
One other element in the hiring process is probably to be on the lookout for whether you're hiring a person that wants to work in an organization, or if you're hiring like someone that you just kind of know, like inevitably they want to be self-employed or own their own business. So like, you don't necessarily want to sink all those resources into someone where they're like destined to not work for you in the long term.
Like, yeah, but even like skilling somebody up in like the amount that you need to invest there, let's say even if it's like $100,000, like they don't need to be working for you as that kind of like skilled up person for that long, really.
Make that up.
To recoup the revenue there. Like it's not, you don't need to do it in profit. It's all expensed or whatever for you know, how you're skilling them up. Like the bigger question for me, and I'm sure there are people much smarter than me that have kind of posed this question, is like, can you take most people and, as it were, make them a good developer? Or is this a thing where, you know, for whatever reason, there's some people that can adapt to it and there are some people that aren't? And being able to make that call ahead of time, is there therefore where like some of the risk is involved? Is, you know, you could try everything you want, but really, I think a lot of web development is just like showing people how to learn so they can, you know, really form all of the constructs themselves in their own heads of how programming works, how these things all relate to each other and things. It's not something that you can just kind of learn how you learn, how you remember things. You really need to understand, you know, a lot of concepts. That is maybe the more tricky thing to work out is like, Is anybody you take on that looks promising going to be able to get to that? Or do some people just kind of like run against a wall and never quite kind of break through to that?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor for this episode, Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms is the best way to make web forms on the planet. Whether it's multi-page forms, you can even take credit cards or send people off to something like PayPal. You can do surveys, you can do polls, you can do so much more with Gravity Forms. I've been using Gravity Forms since the very beginning. I think my subscription has gone 5 years or so now. I love Gravity Forms. They're a great team with excellent support. It's the most powerful forms system that you can utilize for WordPress. It's a commercial plugin, and it's in over 1 million websites, and it's an awesome form solution. I highly suggest that you check out Gravity Forms. You can go to gravityforms.com for more information on that, and check out all the powerful extensions and integrations that they have. I think you will like it. So go to gravityforms.com, and thank you to the team at Gravity Forms for being a Postas partner. Okay, so let's get into the learning. Right before I do that, one last note I have is that I think if you're on the learning side of this, and let's say a company is, they're bringing you in and they're going to lift you up considerably. Like you're going in and you know you got a lot to learn and they're going to teach you those things. In my opinion, from a tenure perspective, like as an employee, I would want to give a company at least a couple of years of my, you know, my employment if I'm really getting lifted up by them. It gets very... if you're just
like you feel like you have a personal responsibility to do that, is that what you're saying?
This is just me. This is just my opinion. This isn't like what I think someone absolutely needs to do. But if I were an employer and I'm looking for full-time people, if I was looking at someone's resume that did have a few years experience and they're like 1 year here, 1 year there, 6 months here, 1 year there, that would worry me as an employer. Maybe they haven't found the right spot, or maybe they're just in like constantly jumping around. And that's kind of the way of careers these days. Like even in the corporate world, like tenure is not what it once was. But I think
I would be equally as questioning with seeing a CV like that. It's just 6 months everywhere, but it wouldn't be, I guess I definitely don't attach any kind of like, moral value, as it were, to sticking with a company that's given you skills or something. I think that that should be a completely kind of free market, as it were, that, you know, you take somebody on, you know the risk that they may get the skills and leave or whatever. That's your decision.
And it's your job to stay competitive.
Yeah, exactly. So I get your personal kind of thing around that, but I definitely wouldn't kind of I wouldn't expect that of anybody, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I'm not saying I think people that if they go somewhere and learn from a company that they should like, you know, penalize themselves to years of low pay.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely a problem with the company in that situation. But I mean, if you're, there's got to be there's some kind of balance there. And personally, I think like, all other things being equal, like if your pay is fair to market value and all that, like if it's a pretty good culture, like don't just jump around for the sake of
I don't think you're going to want to jump around in that case.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So let's say now somebody's convinced like, okay, I want to go and I want to learn by doing. I think what would be cool is to say, here's what you should build first, and then here's what you should build second, and then here's what you should build third. And I have ideas on this.
Okay.
partly because I think I probably went the wrong direction initially for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I built some personal sites, but my first client site was actually an e-commerce website.
Wow, you jumped in.
Yeah, probably not a great idea.
You bit off a lot there.
I think the first thing someone should build, though, and I mean build, not just install a template, is their own blog. And then they should actually use it. Do you have opposition to that? Do you agree with it?
Yeah. That's
as someone good. Without a blog?
I'd say that's quite ambitious if you're, you know, have previously been working something completely unrelated. I'd say...
Okay, I mean, so
does this person already know HTML, CSS? Like those
that's true. That's true. So set up your own blog and then start learning how to edit the look of it.
Yeah,
if you don't.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's key that like you learn how to control the visual stuff at the beginning. Like that, I think without that, that's you're not going to have good kind of building blocks. So working out how, like for me, like one thing I remember doing, which I think is quite effective, is kind of like copying things, as it were. If you see like a landing page that you like, then if you like, if you can produce that in a visual sense using HTML, CSS, maybe introducing PHP, JavaScript as well, like you actually know what you're looking to do there. Whereas if you're trying to self-lead yourself in every direction at the same time with designing your site and like working out all of these other things, like that can be quite a daunting thing maybe. So just even learning how to like, I have this thing that I know what it looks like that I want to make. How do I actually get that into a website? That I remember working quite well for me, but obviously it depends.
But if you're getting looking to go and get a position or like a freelance job or something, and it's to build someone a website from the ground up, like you need to have built a website from the ground up for yourself first.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like in terms of the like do it for your own for yourself, totally. That's like the problem with you only have a couple of other options. And if you're making your own website, then you're actually kind of interested. If you make up a company that you're going to make a website for or whatever, like it's a completely fictional website, like you're probably not going to feel much interest or ownership over that. And your own brand and your own website is something that you have complete control over and you only have yourself to answer to. So that's a really good thing to focus on, I think.
So let's say somebody has their blog up and running and they've, say they've created a child theme of another theme and they've edited CSS and they've overridden a couple of templates and done some copy pasta to make it work a little bit to what they desire. They're obviously already on their way. Like they've interacted with quite a few things. They've learned they've learned like FTP, editing HTML and CSS or whatever.
They're using the WordPress editor.
They're using the WordPress editor. Oh gosh,
email.
You mean like the file editor?
Hopefully not.
At that point, do you think someone should start learning processes then, or should they start digging in further and then learn processes? Like, because one of the things that I feel like people get stuck in too much is like learning the proper procedures for version control or something like too early. Like, is that silly? Like, and is that like, am I breaking?
No, I think you're totally right. Like, and again, my
like
take is
build
that
tools. Like, if I would hate for someone to be in that position where they just create the first child theme and now I'm telling them go configure a grunt file.
Right. And that, but I don't think that's unusual advice for, like, oh, I'm just getting into programming. It's like, oh my God, you need to learn the command line. Like, that is the essential skill that there is. And every, like, now I may believe that now. I know that that is not, just doesn't make sense from their perspective to be given some such abstract thing. Like, it's a little bit like going to, like, see an introductory Git class and somebody just explaining you the graph theory of how Git works or something. Like, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for, like, what are the two programs I need to download for me to click around and, like, push stuff.
Like, right.
Trying to learn from first principles or, you know, from super low level. I would
want someone to just have Atom, like a text editor and some way to SFTP to their site. Maybe learn like the basic security stuff. But like, even if they are just saving, and they don't have a local install even. Like, they're just bricking their live site when they break stuff. As long as it's their own blog, like, I don't care. I just want them hacking on something.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's quite easy once you get to the experience position and look back, and things are so different from that vantage point.
Right.
That really, like, if you're learning something, like, being worried about learning something because you want to make sure you learn it the right way and you, like, do it in the correct order isn't, like, that's probably holding you back, I think, more than anything. You need to get stuck in, which is kind of how I learn anyway, is, like, get stuck in. If you find out, you know, how to make the thing work in PHP how you want, and you've no idea really what that PHP does, but it kind of works and you can kind of tweak it, like, that's enough. Move on. And, like, that's going to be much clearer what that PHP does once you've done a bunch of other things, not once you've carried on looking at that PHP for the next 2 weeks to really understand exactly what it is doing. I think
so.
Pushing forward makes everything, all of your comfort zone, you know, those skills just kind of bake over time, and you'll understand much more when you come back to them.
My next bit of advice, personal advice, may also be a little bit out of order for a lot of people, but to me, another thing, like, now you're creating templates within themes, and, like, you're copying them and editing them, and you're putting your own things, like, because you want the author or you want the date or, like, whatever within that template. To me, the most important consideration when you're doing this is not the code itself. It's, I think, what will help you learn faster moving forward is to understand the syntax of the code that you're using, so that your, like, your tabs and your spaces and your alignment of the code is clean. So, like, just learn, like, the style guide of code. Don't even, like, even before you learn, like, in depth what all that code means. Because then what you're writing is going to be more readable, and you'll better, like, if you understand why things are need to be structured in a certain way, like, you'll then learn better. And I did not take this advice. This is something I learned the hard way.
I definitely didn't have that either. I'm going to play devil's advocate a minute.
Okay.
Do you think that, like, it's more readable to us now, like, that clean code, it's all correctly indented, you can actually see where the if is starting or where it's ending. If you don't fully understand the code, like, is it any more readable to you? I'm not sure if it is or not.
My reasoning is, I want to, if I compare it to, let's say, how to write a good blog post, okay? And let's say the text is exactly the same in two scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. But in one scenario, I have, like, no paragraph structure, no subheadings, I don't break it up. Every sentence is the same. If I look at both of those, like, one is instantly significantly better, even though the quality of the writing is no better whatsoever, because I created structure in the document. And
that, but again, like, I see people writing in that way that you're talking about, like, they only do, like, one break for paragraphs, for example, so all the text is, like, completely bunched together. There's, like, inconsistencies or, like, spaces after.
I'm not even talking about the HTML within that blog post.
I'm talking about, like, when people just write things, like, yeah. I see people also that aren't that experienced with writing do exactly the same thing, I guess, in writing, that is the same thing of, like, bad formatting. For me, it's, like, so much simpler. If you know exactly how to format things when you're writing, you know where to put the right breaks and things like that, you get a much nicer flowing document that's much easier to read. However, when you're coming from the perspective of, like, not that experience, then, like, when you, in your example, if you took the person that had written that badly forward document that didn't understand that I'll add some line breaks, it's going to be easier to read, I don't know that the one that you wrote is easier to read or not. See what, like, for them. I think it's all just, like, a big garbled mess to them either way. So it's not until they really, like, understand a lot of those things better that they'll actually see the differences in these two documents.
But don't you think if someone learns the very concepts of, like, what a... this, you do a subheading, or you do a you break up the paragraphs, and if part of your handbook of learning that is, say, it says because a short paragraph is easier for someone to read and comprehend, let me show you a short paragraph and a long paragraph and let you look at them and tell me what you think. Like, if you do the same thing from a code perspective, doesn't the same rule apply? So, like, a long function versus a short function.
Exactly the same rules apply. So, I'm definitely arguing that these two things, I think, are very much the same. My kind of question is, like, at that point where somebody is, say, like, copy-pasting code that they don't really understand what it's doing, that is PHP, but you're saying, like, you should understand that you copy-paste in that rando code, but do format it well, because that's going to make it easier to read later on.
I'm saying it's not going to make it easier to read necessarily for that person, but in order to format it correctly, it's forcing them to have a better understanding of what it is even that they're copying and pasting.
Mm.
Because
true, and I mean that's quite a lo-fi way of being able to do that, rather than like following the exact grammar right. of the language or whatever. It's like, at least I know how to break up the curly braces so they sit on there, you know.
Right. So let's say you have the header of a blog, and it's like, or the header of a blog post, like the template, and it's like a div with a header tag in between, and then like, you know, an H1 and the title. And there's clearly a good syntax that you can use there and a bad syntax. And if you just like slap it in there because you copied it from something else that was poorly formatted, then you didn't understand the document structure. Mm-hmm. You just threw it in there and great, now you have your title. But if you force yourself to then understand like the indentation and the spacing and the PHP brackets or whatever, like you're...
Yeah, no, I can get on board with that. I think that would be a good... That is an interesting perspective. It's like, come at it from, like, if you have that core skill at the beginning, all of the rando stuff that you then do later on, at least you've kind of been able to break that apart a little bit just using those kind of like syntax formatting.
Because what I ran into early on was I would have errors that I would encounter that should have been more easily discoverable if things were well aligned. Like, if maybe my WP query was broken because, like, I don't know, I was missing some kind of like closing bracket somewhere or whatever. But like, if you're aligning things better and you're breaking things into smaller pieces, like you're learning to read it better and you're fundamentally understanding it better. Mm. So my advice is that this is hard for someone self-learning versus like if you're teaching someone else. I think when you're doing review of what they do, point those things out. Don't just like fix it to, you know, like treat that as an issue with their code, even if the code itself worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I think you're teaching them those fundamentals and you're explaining like, okay, here's your wrapper div and here's your, you know, the title inside of that or whatever. And like, you're teaching them that structure of the proper syntax to utilize. And that's going to help them read better. And as they read better, what they just put in there, they're understanding it better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's one of my bits of advice. What would be the, after someone does their personal blog or whatever, like what would be like the second type of website that you'd want to see someone do? Would you want someone to go immediately into doing a website for someone else, maybe someone that they know or some organization?
Yeah, I think like as much as the kind of like skeletons hang around for the rest of your life, doing websites for like people you know or, you know, local business that you might happen to know is quite a low risk way of kind of getting your feet wet with trying out, you know, how is it once I'm making something that somebody else wants. When they say, oh, I want that thing to just appear on the right hand side, you know, some of those tricky things are stuff you just avoid when you're making stuff for yourself, because you can just be like, oh, I don't mind it being on the left, you know. So getting in, you know, working with other people, making stuff of people is really important in terms of like the requirements there, like testing, things like that, making sure it's not really buggy, because you feel worse if you've made something for somebody else and it doesn't work for them. Cross-browser stuff, all of that type of stuff comes into it. So I think as long as it's low risk enough, because frankly, like the thing that you're going to make, you're probably going to be, you know, super embarrassed about in about 6 months, a year time. So it needs to be something that you're, you know, it's not going to break any personal relationships because of that or anything. But I think stepping into that kind of like realistic role as quickly as possible is, for a lot of people anyway, like a really good way to make them learn quickly.
I remember a couple of the websites that I built were actually wedding websites for friends of mine. So they were getting married and I'd like built a simple HTML site or whatever that was for their wedding, like, you know, with the information and time, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember what a couple of those looked like. It's embarrassing, like super embarrassing. I remember one specifically, CSS gradients were relatively new. And mm-hmm. I thought I had built the coolest little gradient on the background of this website. And oh my God, like I can picture it in my head. Like it went from way too dark to too light. Like it was so ugly.
A very large gradient.
Yeah, it was a super not subtle gradient. Yeah, anyway, so pretty fun. But it was very low consequence. It was like my friend's wedding website, and they loved it. Like they thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
So I think situations like that are really helpful. Unfortunately, we're giving advice to build multiple websites for no money. So like you have no payback in this period. You just have to consider it a learning episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't do that for like a corporation. Like I would highly advise not building a free website for a for-profit company or something and treat it like a client.
Yeah, like I didn't, to be honest, I don't know how many people let you build them a free website these days anyway. Like that's,
I think if you get in a local scenario, they definitely
you
would.
You think, maybe. But anyway, yeah, not a good precedent. The relationship won't be good if you're doing it for free. I think you've got
to be because they're going to contact you 2 years down the road or something for sure. So I would even be wary of doing that for like a nonprofit or something that mm-hmm. you like.
Are you kind of a proponent of like slightly over exaggerating your skills or whatever, like pushing a little further on the public face to be like, yeah, I can make your website, it can do this, yada, yada. And then, like, you go back and you're like, oh, crap, got to work out how to do all this kind of stuff. Or do you hear on the more conservative side?
Mm-hmm. I would advocate the opposite. I think it's frustrating. For instance, let's say you have one of the websites you built was for a website for your services. I would be very clear about, like, saying I and not we.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want...
That's a... Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you don't want, like... we need a different, we need a company name. What's our company name?
Happy Made.
Happy Made. There you go. So you don't want like Happy Made web services and on it, it says like, we make websites for all types of people and businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to say like, my name is Brian Krogsgaard and I work sometimes with Joe Hoyle and we are Happy Made or whatever. It's not, you're not, I have two people. So my name is Brian Krogsgaard and I run Happy Made, and Happy Made is the name of the company that I utilize for mm-hmm. making websites, and I will make you a website and whatever, like, and be very clear and say, my skills are X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Are you interested in working with me? And that's fine. Like people will embrace that. You always are able to serve someone with what you know. You just, I think it's the worst thing is to overdo the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to anything. This isn't just learning WordPress development. I've been a nerd. I've been nerding out about like photography and video stuff for the past like 6 months or year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar situation. Like I would never like put up a website and say like, I'll be your wedding photographer.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, like I would just not do that.
Right.
I would, but
I'm a little more on the, like with the company stuff, I totally get it. I hate it when, you know, somebody represents, you know, some company but that's actually not what they are, kind of thing or whatever. So I get that, but there's something for me, I think about, if you're, I'm kind of thinking back to when I was like fairly beginner. Like when I got this first job for it's an American company, I like was like very junior. But this was like a fairly serious WordPress development position. And I felt like being able to try and like rise to that challenge for me was like really good because that was like, for me, that wasn't terrifying. That was like very motivating to like, right, gotta learn this. Like and maybe that really is quite subjective depending on like whether that's going to crush you or whether like you're going to just like be very pragmatic and be like, okay, I gotta learn all these things, like quick, go straight away before next week kind of thing. So maybe that depends on the person, but I don't think definitely you shouldn't be dishonest. It's just if you kind of like know your capabilities to be able to learn things, then I don't really see a problem like stepping into that for a website that you're going to build or a position or something. If you're kind of like semi-confident that you are going to be able to get there, like I am going to be able to at the end of the day, you know, look things up online until I understand this API to be able to do that.
I think you're always best to try to accurately describe your situation. In my scenario, I had a good understanding of WordPress and how things worked by the time I was ready to go get a job, but I didn't have experience. So I certainly did not fake my experience and like say like, oh, I can do X, Y, and Z, and you know, I'm great. Like mm-hmm. I was actually, and I also probably lucked out in the sense of the company I was interviewing with was very open to what I was saying. So I expressed the things that I haven't had an understanding of, and I linked some personal websites that I'd built for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then. I mean, I even included some like blog articles and stuff, but I was very open and saying like, I've had a different job in a different industry. I don't have this like big portfolio of client work, but this is what I feel like I have an understanding of. So I was able to both describe my experience without like overselling because I was admitting that I had not done it very much in a client environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think just being honest in those situations is important.
The
employer. Now,
I think it's a very fine, like it's a very subtle line between like just like how confident do I want to seem in my own abilities versus like I don't want to go overboard. But if you're like usually being unconfident doesn't really serve you very well in terms of like if you have the skills to do something, you should be letting somebody know you have those. Don't like go on the underside of that. So I think like my personality is somebody that usually would go on the underside of that. So I think like I had to definitely learn to kind of push that out a bit to be able to kind of be more look like a more attractive option, frankly. If you're going to be like, yeah, like I think I've kind of like got HTML and CSS, when like really you have, but you're not somebody that's going to be like, yes, I'm the best at this ever. Like that just doesn't look good to somebody that's wanting you to do something. They want to have confidence that you're going to be able to do it. So if you're in any way underselling yourself, which I think most people do in this industry, then and maybe you just weren't, you know, predisposed to do that. But for
and you've hired like you've me, hired people, so you've experienced interviewing people from these in these different ways, and I have too. For both companies I worked for, I was involved in the hiring process significantly. If someone's, you can smell when someone's overhyping themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just my personality, but I was highly drawn towards people where they were very upfront about the limitations of their experience, but simultaneously were able to express their passions or both mm-hmm. what they knew and what they wanted to know. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah, like that's great when you get somebody that is able to do that. But that I think like that person is probably like already pretty confident to be able to do that. I guess like there's, I'm kind of thinking for, you know, if you're somebody who's quite unsure about your abilities like that, I think that persona you're describing is somebody that's pretty sure of what their capabilities are and they feel confident that they can say what they don't know and what they do know, and that's going to be good. Like that's going to be good. That's going to work well for them. Whereas being in much more of like uncertain territory of like, well, yeah, like I think I know HTML, but like it's possible that I don't. Like some of those things, I guess, like keep for yourself and like keep that with you that like there could still be things about HTML that you don't understand. You should keep an open mind because of that. But there is like a level of presentation that you need to give to be like, yes, I do HTML CSS. I take it very seriously. I really like enjoy doing all the formatting correctly and making sure everything is right and like having a good understanding of that. Like I think you need to push it to that degree, even if internally you're like a little bit conflicted, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, this is obviously a difficult...
It's like, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's a really gray line in like what I'm saying could be taken to the extreme and I totally wouldn't agree with it by like somebody like just like saying stuff that they actually have no idea about. And that is like, you definitely don't want to be in that position. But I think for kind of the people that I'm kind of thinking to by saying this is people that are going to be like going way too conservative. So need to kind of branch out a little bit in kind of like saying what their abilities are and being confident in that.
So when you learned, did you utilize any resources? Because I want to recommend some, but did you utilize any resources that were like official, like beyond just Googling to solve every little problem that you ran into? Did you do any coursework or like follow particular blogs that were helpful, or like what kind of stuff did you use to assist you?
Yeah. I don't remember much specific, but that could just be my bad memory. Like I was definitely reading like all the Zeldman stuff that was around. There was like the Quirks mode stuff as well. Like I remember like reading quite a bit, which got me very interested in like web standards and semantic markup and stuff like that. So like having something like that to kind of like hold on to kind of like let people kind of steer you, I guess. Like I was reading the arguments for why it's better to use text than, you know, text in images, for example, which was something that was really big at the time. So I feel like because of that, I felt like I was at the forefront of that wave a little bit, which kind of inspired me a lot to kind of carry on pushing forward. Because by reading people like Zeldman, you kind of got a feeling that like you were doing things the right way. And maybe this, you know, maybe you could also do that for an echo chamber in completely the wrong direction. I don't know.
Did you buy and read any books?
Nothing of value. I think like I had a couple of books, but I don't work well that way at all. Like by reading, like learning by examples out of books or anything. Like for me,
yeah, you have to, if you're going to do that, you have to follow along with exactly what the books tell
you.
Yeah.
And definitely like doesn't work for me at all. In terms of like books of like, philosophy of programming and stuff, I haven't, it's only like in recent years that I've been as much interested from that aspect of like,
yeah, I think a lot of books are more applicable once you're pretty well established.
Yeah. I'd say just, for this period of like your first year, just like, again, like this is what works for a lot of people is just like, you're really, being as practical as you can be trying to build things, learning things along the way.
Yeah. And I'll end with some resources that I think are valuable if you're going to go that route, but I tend to agree. For instance, right now, I mean, I've been watching and I haven't watched it all the way through, but like I'll rewatch, some of the lessons. I bought Wes Boss's React for Beginners, mm-hmm. Because I've really wanted to dig into some of these JavaScript frameworks, and inevitably still the best thing is actually just creating your own little demos or like trying to build something and playing with it. But like, I like now that I have more experience within development, I understand certain concepts better. Like going and watching a video about something, I grasp a lot more than I would have 5 years ago. Watching a video about programming.
And I think the online education thing has developed a lot over the past 5 years as well.
So. Yeah, it didn't exist in the same way. Like my learning resources before were like specific developers' blogs that I found a ton of value in. So like CSS Tricks is an obvious one, you know, for someone learning front end stuff. I used to just like look, I still do sometimes, like, but just look specifically on the blog that I trust for how to do X, like how to create a CSS gradient using my example before. Like I'd just go look for it on CSS Tricks because if I connected with the way Chris taught things, or for WordPress stuff at the time, I got heavily involved in the Theme Hybrid community, and Justin Tadlock wrote really great tutorials that got into advanced concepts, but he explained them so that a relative beginner could work with that. And so I may not be prepared to do what Justin was blogging about, like creating my own custom widgets, but I could understand his blog post. And that was super helpful. Yeah. So finding blogs that you like,
kind of the though not directly how to do it, you kind of understand the concept.
Finding blogs that are like specific blogs that help you is really a big deal. What's interesting is as time has gone on, I feel like there's fewer and fewer of those, like especially stuff that's like learn with me or learn, you know, like let me teach you X, Y, and Z, unless it's kind of a course. Like people are monetizing them as courses more versus just writing a blog post about how to do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
that said,
the age of online courses, I think.
Yeah, we are definitely in the age of online courses. That said, there are several that are, I think, worth looking at in terms of WordPress. One that people might already have, a Lynda subscription, but like Lynda can be really beneficial. If you already have a subscription to Lynda, then they have courses for very specific things. Some of them are beginner type of stuff. And Morton, who's the primary WordPress person at Lynda, is really terrific. WP in 1 month is another course that's paid and relatively new. I like this concept. This is Joe Casabona that does WP in 1 month. So that might be a good one now. Like you've built your first blog and now you want to dig into this. Actually, his very first course is to create a blog. So like would help guide you through that first step. So, a course like that could be really beneficial. Treehouse had a course on WordPress, and I think it's still there, but they're not developing it anymore, but it might still be beneficial.
Yeah, I think they've moved away from the WordPress thing broadly.
Yeah. But there are certainly courses out there that can help you. I would just advise, like, don't just rely on the course. Like, maybe watch the course, but work along with it. So that you're kind of following the steps. I've never really gotten anything out of a course unless I dug really deep into it to the degree where I was I was building something with it. And obviously in that scenario, like it's hard to do that if you also have a lot of other stuff that you have to do. So like creating something purely for educational purposes, you have to be committed time-wise to doing so. So just keep that in mind, but nothing will be as good as just building it yourself, and learning what you need to as you go through that process. And, like the WordPress Stack Exchange is a really good place to just Google things. like ending up on the WordPress Stack Exchange is a lot better than ending up like on 7-year-old WordPress forum questions.
Oh yeah. Well,
and then I think we can wrap this up. My final piece of advice might be to, if you're looking for your first job, like if you're looking to go work somewhere, don't necessarily try to get, even if you want to be a WordPress developer, if you're looking locally, apply for a job that's not for a WordPress developer position, but at a place that has WordPress developers. but maybe apply for a support job or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you have project management experience, maybe apply to be a project manager. Those are really in-demand positions at a lot of agencies. And you may have a lower starting pay, but it gives you a great in, and you can work up your way and learn in those positions to then become a WordPress developer or like PHP developer or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's a really good route.
Mm.
You have any parting advice?
Keep at it. That's my cop out. I don't know. It's so difficult. This, you know, one thing that worked best for me is like I quite enjoyed doing it the whole way. So I didn't really learn it as you know, are kind of taught in a classroom approach. But that wasn't because it's just not. Just because I wasn't being taught in a classroom, that was because I actually enjoyed doing everything that I was doing. So maybe if like you're unsure of whether this is something you want to get into, if like you do really enjoy doing it, you're like, you know, typing some code and having some like problem, like some solution because of that, or building something. If you kind of get a little bit of a adrenaline hit from that, then it's going to be much easier for you. If, on the other hand, like, you're coming at it from the perspective of, like, I need to switch careers and, like, you know, there's nothing specific about this one apart from it, there seems to be money in it, that's, I think, going to be a lot more difficult for you. So maybe just kind of, like, bear that in mind with a lot of people you're talking to are like, yeah, it's super easy, I just did it when I was a kid or whatever. They probably really enjoyed doing it along the way and were really excited by it, and that made it a lot easier for them. So maybe it's not all that easy if you're like, okay, if I do 2 hours a day and I'll be able to earn this much by this point and this much, and you're not kind of actually mentally excited by that, then maybe take, you know, what we're all saying with a grain of salt, that like, yeah, there's loads of money, it's really easy to learn it kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's not easy, it's just there's a relatively low barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have a computer, you can get started. Or access to a computer. So I don't know. This is tough. This was a lot harder to cover than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, Brian and Joe going into a subject today.
I've done a talk on it. Talk on like how to become a WordPress developer.
Wow.
But it's still difficult in the context of an actual conversation. But anyway, that is the podcast for this week. Joe, where should people go?
They should follow me on Twitter, Joe_Hoyle. Also, we forgot to plug something that I'm doing. You should also come and attend the workshop I'm giving at a day of rest for, what am I doing? In REST API authentication. So it's like half day of all of the different authentication methods in core and out of core for using the REST API.
So people still listening to this already know that I'm going to insert a pitch for a day of rest and status publish at the beginning.
I can't get away with pretending that was part of the normal flow now.
Right. You ruined it. No, but there's
bit out.
Still, no, we're not cutting it out. We're going to give people all out an hour and a half of this recording. So there are 6 workshops at a day of rest as just a reminder. And speaking of great teachers, these are all really great teachers. We actually mentioned Wes Boss, Zach Gordon, Brian Richards, you, Cadam White, and Adam Silverstein. Hard to learn. That's a freaking awesome lineup. So this is people that are probably a little further along and already doing a lot of WordPress stuff and looking to get into it from the JavaScript side, and this has full day and half day workshops. Pretty awesome. I'm really excited about these workshops. Those are March 8th and then March 10th, and then the day in between, March 9th, is the actual Day of Rest event, which will have multiple speakers. So it's going to be fun. And also, Post-Status Publish is just in less than a month, December 1st.
Getting excited. Buy your tickets. I'm getting excited.
I am really excited. We just announced speakers and me and you are going to be doing a live show. So how about that?
Wow. Is that with audience participation?
Potentially.
How does that work?
There's, the audience is going to be around.
But live show is in your live broadcasting it.
No. I'm not live broadcasting it. It's going to be like in front of human beings.
Okay, right.
Me and you are sitting in chairs doing a podcast, and people are around drinking beer and maybe ignoring us.
Yeah, got you.
We are getting close in terms of tickets. Less than 50 seats left, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. So you're going to sell out.
I hope so.
Nice.
Yeah. So come to Post Status Publish, go to Day of Rest, and we will see y'all next time.
Thanks.